King James Bible. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your precious word, which is full of power. We thank you, Lord, for that. We love you and praise you, and we set ourselves to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the dangers of departing from the King James Bible, and we'll look at a few different reasons why it is extremely dangerous to depart from the King James Bible. Firstly, let's have a look in Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. And the scripture says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Thy word is settled, the scripture says, and it's settled forever. We know that the word of God is the truth. We know that John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." And here the word of God states that it is settled forever in heaven. That tells us that the Word of God is not something that's going to be changing. It's not going to be something that you're going to find discrepancies in. God has set it down. It's His Word. It is the truth. It is settled forever. And as such, it's the final authority on any matter. And we're talking about the King James Bible here because we acknowledge only one word as the true word of God, and that is the King James Bible. So we understand straight away the word of God is settled, it is the truth, and it is the final authority on any matter in our lives. Now we'll look at some reasons why it's dangerous to depart from this. It's dangerous to depart from the settled, authoritative word of God. Firstly, if people depart from the King James Bible, which is the truth, which is a light to people, it's a light to them and a lamp to them, shows them the right way to go. If people discard the King James Bible and pick up something that is not the Word of God, not the true Bible, we use NIV, for instance, or Revised Standard Version, one of the modern versions, they abandon the true word of God, well, automatically that makes them vulnerable to deception. As the true word of God is not being consulted as the final authority in people's lives. This is important to understand. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 tells us that Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not. People are putting themselves in a position to have their minds blinded because they are not consulting the true word of God as the final authority, and they are vulnerable to deception. So that's one significant danger right here of departing from the King James Bible. It puts people in a position where they're vulnerable to deception, and the devil is ready to deceive. He's waiting for people, looking for holes in their life, gaps in their knowledge, lack of faith. So he can come in there. If you don't have the true word of God, then what are you going to consult? Another significant reason is that for people who depart from the King James Bible, they're unable to test false beliefs against the true scriptures. If someone presents a false belief to you, if you're using the King James Bible, you can easily go to the Word of God and look at it and say, that does not line up with the Word of God as far as I can see. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's automatically false because we know that the Scripture says, thy word is truth. So if people abandon the King James Bible, then they're unable to test false belief against the true scripture. Have a look at Romans 4 verse 3a. We'll look at the first part. Romans 4 verse 3a. the Word of God says here in Romans 4, verse 3a, for what saith the Scripture? The Word of God is encouraging us to look at the Word of God. If you hear something, if you want to investigate it further, if you're not sure about it, go to the Scripture and find out, is this something that's false? For what saith the Scripture? If people abandon the King James Bible, then where can they go to test if something isn't so? So that's a very important reason why people need to use the King James Bible, and it's dangerous to depart from the King James Bible because people cannot test false beliefs against the true Scripture. So here's two very important reasons right away to stay with the King James Bible and dangers associated with departing from the King James Bible. It makes people vulnerable to deception, and they're unable to test false beliefs against the true Scripture. Another very significant danger is that people's minds are actually altered for the worse when they depart from the King James Bible. We'll look at an example in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Have a look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. Here the Scripture says in Isaiah 26, verse 3 in the King James Bible, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So the King James Bible is encouraging people here. It's saying to people, keep your mind on God, whose mind is stayed on God. And when that is the case, then God will keep that person in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed on God. I'll use the NIV tonight also to demonstrate some of the difficulties and the dangers associated with abandoning the King James Bible. I'll read to you what this scripture says. It's from the NIV. Now, we were looking at Isaiah 26, verse 3. The NIV says, you will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast. Steadfast. That's not encouraging people to keep their mind on the Lord. It just says steadfast. It doesn't say whose mind is stayed on thee. So people are opening themselves up there to troubling thoughts. If they don't keep their mind on the Lord, the King James Bible tells people to keep their mind on the Lord. The NIV just says steadfast. And that's open to interpretation right there. Where is the emphasis to think on God? So people's minds are actually altered for the worse when they depart from the King James Bible. Another danger, a significant danger of departing from the King James Bible, is that there is a weakening and a possible loss of faith completely. We'll look at Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If people depart from the word of God, then where is going to be the basis for the development of their faith? If they take the word of God out of their life, they're not going to put in that essential requirement to build up faith. Because the scripture says here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we just looked at one example there of a loss of emphasis on God from a modern version. So there is a weakening and a possible loss of faith because the Word of God is essential for the development of faith. And the King James Bible shows us this in Romans 10:17. Another significant danger is that people's doctrinal system gets polluted and watered down if they depart from the firm foundation. The firm foundation is the King James Bible. So their doctrinal system gets polluted and watered down, and as I mentioned earlier, if people abandon the true word, how can they test false belief against the scripture? There'll be a confusion, a lack of discernment there. So doctrinal system gets polluted and watered down. Have a look at Psalm 11 verse 3. Psalm 11 verse 3. The scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It shows us that a loss of foundation, a destroying of foundations, is a tragic thing. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We understand that it's essential to build our house upon the rock. Now, the modern versions, there's no firm foundation there for people to base their beliefs on. We know they contradict each other. There's all sorts of problems in the modern versions. So there's definitely a departing from a firm foundation when people depart from the King James Bible. I'll show you another example. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. Now this is talking about Satan. The Word of God, the King James Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? The King James Bible calls Lucifer the son of the morning. The son of the morning, and that's what it calls him in this verse. The son of the morning. I'll read out to you this verse from the NIV, Isaiah 14 verse 12. This is from the NIV. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. So here in the NIV, it calls Satan the morning star. If you go to the King James Bible, you'll notice that the morning star is the name given to the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. That's one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his titles, the morning star. And here the NIV is putting those very words in a verse that's in reference to Satan. That's definitely problematic. And you can understand how people would be significantly troubled if they came across this. This is one of the problems. People's doctrinal system gets polluted and watered down. You won't find any doctrinal problems with the King James Bible. It will keep you on that firm foundation. Another reason, as I just mentioned, is that there is confusion. Modern versions and departing from the King James Bible leads to confusion. Now, that was a confusing thing that we just looked at then from the NIV. It leads to confusion and a lack of confidence in God. Modern versions have contradictions within themselves, for example. They give wrong definitions and changed meanings. I'll give you another example. Have a look at Genesis chapter 8 verse 1. Genesis 8 verse 1. Now this verse is in reference to the flood record. Genesis 8 verse 1 in the King James Bible says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged." That's the King James Bible. The King James Bible uses the word assuaged. The word assuaged means to be calmed. Calmed. That's what the word assuaged means. Just calmed. In the NIV, I'll read out to you Genesis 8 verse 1 from the NIV. "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded." Notice there's a different word there. It's the word receded, the NIV used. Now, the word receded means to drop down, to go back. That's different to the word assuaged, which means to be calmed. The word receded means to drop down. Therefore, it's changing what actually happened. It's changing the meaning there of what happened with respect to the flood record. That's one example there. Another significant example, which can lead to confusion for people and wrong beliefs, wrong belief systems. Have a look at Deuteronomy 23 verse 17. Deuteronomy 23 verse 17. The King James Bible says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." That is very clear on God's will and on his attitude towards these types of sins. He uses the word whore and he uses the word sodomite. Now, they have very clear definitions there. You can look them up in the dictionary and find out what they mean. A whore and a sodomite. Therefore, we know God is against these things. The King James Bible shows us that God is firmly against these sins, whoredom and sodomy. In the NIV, it's a different story. Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. Here the NIV says, "No Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute." There's no mention of a whore. There's no mention of a sodomite. It's just a shrine prostitute. Now, you'd be wondering, what's a shrine prostitute? I don't even know what that is. Whereas, it's easy to find out what is a whore, what is a sodomite. And we know God is against these things. But a shrine prostitute, that's something that's rather ambiguous. And it's culturally defined as well. A shrine prostitute. It's confusing for people. And it shows you how their belief systems are polluted. And they're putting their beliefs on something that's a shifting sands. It's not a firm foundation. It's not on the rock of God's word. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Let's have a look at that. 1 Corinthians 14:33. The King James Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, if people believe that God has legitimately produced the King James Bible and the NIV and the Revised Standard Version and the other modern versions, the myriad of modern versions, we've just looked at some examples there where there's clear doctrinal problems, where there's words changed. where there's words missing. How can God be the author of that? It's confusing for people. It goes against his nature to think that these are all equally valid. It goes against God's nature. God is very direct. He does things properly. He does not produce multiple books with different meanings in them. So God is definitely not the author of confusion, and because we've noticed some of the contradictions already, we know that not all those versions can be equally right. How can two versions with a different meaning both be correct? So definitely not all versions are right. So God is not the author of confusion. Another significant danger of departing from the King James Bible is that there is a lack of blessing in people's lives. Blessing comes from faith and obedience to the word of God. That's where blessing comes from. Have a look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Clearly, blessing comes from obedience to the word of God and not departing from it. The word of God says it clearly. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." God wants us to keep it. He wants us to meditate on it and observe to do it. So there definitely will be a lack of blessing in people's lives. In fact, there'll be an opening for the curse in their life if they depart from the King James Bible, which is the true word of God. One of the major problems with modern versions is information is actually taken away. For instance, as I said, there's a loss of words, a loss of verses. When that happens, there'll be no effective growth in people's knowledge. How can their knowledge develop if there's a loss of information from modern versions? We know that Christians are supposed to grow in God. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "They desire the sincere milk of the word of God, and that is essential and necessary for people to grow." The sincere milk of the word of God is necessary for growth. That's 1 Peter 2 verse 2. For instance, in the NIV, there are 64,000 words removed from the NIV. In the modern versions, show 31 times the word "Lord" is removed from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16, the final verses of Mark 16, for instance, suffer in the modern versions. They're either missing or they have doubt cast on them by using a footnote, casting doubt on them in many of the modern versions. Here's an example for you. I'll read out to you Acts 8:37 from the King James Bible. Acts 8:37. I'll read out to you also verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' Verse 37, "And Philip said, 'If thou mayest believe with all thine heart, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" So in this verse, verse 37, the word of God has shown to us that belief is necessary. Belief. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And here, The eunuch made a confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Now that's the way. That's the way to be obedient to God. That's the way to be saved. It's belief in Jesus Christ as your personal saviour. You need to believe in your heart. Now, if you go to the NIV, you won't find that verse 37 in the NIV. It goes verse 36, verse 38. There's no verse 37 there in the NIV. So that's a major problem there. And there is a loss of doctrinal information from the NIV. Verse 37 is omitted completely. Another example can be found in John 3:16. Let's have a look at John 3:16. The King James Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the word begotten is used in the King James Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The word begotten means that God prepared a body for him. This is what the verse says in the NIV, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It's taken away the word begotten, and instead it's put one and only Son. Now, we know that doctrinally that is not correct. For instance, in the King James Bible you have angels being referred to as the sons of God. You have people, other people, being referred to as the sons of God, believers, for example. Therefore, it's doctrinally incorrect to say one and only Son and take out the word begotten. So that's a problem there. Another example is 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. The King James Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now that shows us God was manifest in the flesh, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God. He was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Now this has changed in the NIV. 1 Timothy 3:16 in the NIV. Says, "Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory." What does that tell you? The King James Bible said God was manifest in the flesh. Now it shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, was God incarnate in the flesh. The NIV says he appeared in a body. It just says he appeared in a body. We've all appeared in a body. The King James Bible is specific. God was manifest in the flesh. John 5:7 is another example of a problem the modern versions have, and one of the dangers of departing from the King James Bible. 1 John 5, 7. The King James Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now that shows us about the nature of the Godhead. Who is in the Godhead? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So the Father, the Word being a title for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Shows us about the nature of the Godhead. That verse is missing from the NIV. It's omitted from the NIV. That is a verse that is a powerful verse to prove the Godhead and to understand the nature of the Godhead. Who is in the Godhead? The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That is missing from the NIV. That's a problem. A loss of information also enables modern versions to line up with false beliefs and false religions as well. I'll read out to you Ephesians 3:14 from the King James Bible. Ephesians 3:14. The King James Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So talking about God the Father, we know who he is. He is God Jehovah, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The NIV changes that. Ephesians 3:14 in the NIV. Verse 14 simply says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Now that Father can be open to interpretation. That Father could be Allah. So modern versions are more inclined to line up with false religious beliefs because information is taken away. And finally, the argument that the King James Bible is harder to understand is not a valid argument. Importantly, people need a spiritual insight to understand the Bible anyway. This is achieved through the leading of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, it is a closed book to people. People with a hard heart cannot spiritually discern the Word of God anyway, and you can find that in Isaiah 29 verses 11 and 12. And the final scripture we'll look at is Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Well, that shows us really where does that departing come from? And it warns us here against having that evil heart of unbelief. That's a serious problem for people. Hard-heartedness causes departure from the true Word of God. So the Lord is warning us about this. A soft heart is necessary before God. And the right understanding, the right approach to not depart from the true Word of God. God has given us his Word, the King James Bible. So we should honour it in our lives and obey it in all things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that you have given us the true Word of God, the King James Bible. Thank you that the Word of God is a blessing to us. The Word of God always keeps us on the right path. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your precious gift to us, your Word. May this church be blessed. In Jesus' name, Amen.